You're with The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. Law professor Michelle Alexander says the U.S. criminal justice system functions as a system of racial control. Ross Reynolds spoke with Michelle Alexander earlier when she was in Seattle. Her book is called The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness.
Well, an extraordinarily large percentage of the African-American community is now under correctional control. For example, today, there are more African-American adults under correctional control, in prison or jail, on probation or parole, than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War began. And in some major urban areas, more than half of working-age African-American men have criminal records. And once you get that criminal record, you're trapped forever in a permanent second-class status. All the old forms of discrimination that we supposedly left behind are suddenly legal again. You may be stripped of your right to vote. You're deemed ineligible for jury service. You may be legally discriminated against in employment, housing, access to education, and public benefits.
Why have such a high percentage of African Americans gotten into the justice system in the first place?
Well, the biggest myth is that it's due to crime rates. A lot of times people say to me, well, how can you say that mass incarceration is a system of racial control? It's a system of crime control. If black people would just stop committing so many crimes, then they wouldn't have to worry about being arrested, incarcerated, and stripped of basic civil and human rights. But the reality is that our prison population has quintupled in a very short period of time, about 30 years, for reasons that have stunningly little to do with crime or crime rates. During the past 30 years, crime rates have fluctuated. They've gone up, they've gone down, and today, as bad as they are in some places, are actually at historical lows. But incarceration rates have consistently soared.
Why would that be?
Well, the answer is the war on drugs. The war on drugs and the Get Tough movement, the wave of punitiveness that has washed over poor communities of color. Drug convictions alone accounted for about two-thirds of the increase in the federal system and more than half of the increase in the state system between 1985 and 2000, the period of the greatest escalation of the drug war. And, you know, lots of people think, well, the drug war has been waged in poor communities of color because that's where the violent offenders or drug kingpins are. But the reality is that the drug war has never been focused primarily on rooting out violent offenders or drug kingpins. Federal funding has flowed to those state and local law enforcement agencies that boost dramatically the sheer numbers, the volume of drug arrests. And this gives law enforcement agencies a direct financial incentive to just go out and round up as many folks as possible through stop and frisk operations, stopping people's cars in the search for drugs, going after what law enforcement often calls the low-hanging fruit, to sweep as many people into the system. And the result is that our prison population has exploded primarily due to the arrest of folks for nonviolent and drug offenses. These aren't the big drug kingpins that have been the targets of the drug war. It's been ordinary folks in poor communities of color.
We're talking about The New Jim Crow. It's the title of Michelle Alexander's book. It's subtitled Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. Why has the stepped-up war on drugs disproportionately affected African Americans?
Well, first, I think to understand how this has come to be, we have to go back to the origins of the drug war. Most people assume that the war on drugs was declared in response to the emergence of crack cocaine in inner city communities. But that's not the case. The drug war from outset had more to do with racial politics than drug crime. The current drug war was officially declared by President Ronald Reagan in 1982, at a time when drug crime was actually on the decline, not on the rise. And from the outset, it was really driven by racial politics. Pollsters and political strategists, conservative strategists, found that get-tough appeals on issues of crime and welfare were hugely successful in appealing to poor and working-class whites, particularly in the South, who felt understandably anxious about and threatened by many of the gains of the civil rights movement. And these political strategists found that this get-tough rhetoric was extremely successful in persuading poor and working-class whites to defect from the Democratic Party and join the Republican Party in droves. It was part of what became known as the Southern strategy of attempting to flip the South from blue to red. So President Reagan declared the drug war In an effort to make good on campaign promises to get tough on a group of people who had not so subtly been defined in the media and political discourse as black and brown. But he got lucky because a couple of years after the drug war was declared, crack did hit the streets. And the Reagan administration seized on this development really with glee, hiring staff whose job it was to publicize inner city crack babies and crack dealers in the effort to make crack a media sensation in the hopes that that would bolster public support for a drug war that had already been declared. And that media imagery forever changed our nation's conception of who drug dealers and users actually are.
A lot of the new Jim Crow looks at the impact on the African-American community because of these high rates of incarceration. What are some of the major impacts?
Well, the impacts have been extraordinary. Not only have families been torn apart for these relatively minor nonviolent drug offenses that get ignored elsewhere. In fact, there was an article recently published in The Economist magazine entitled How the Mass Incarceration of Black Men Harms Black Women, which was describing how the drug war and mass incarceration has devastated black families. You know, a black child born today has less of a chance of being raised by both parents than a black child born during slavery. In addition, mass incarceration has rendered generations of African-American men in particular, but increasingly African-American women, locked out of the mainstream economy, society permanently. You know, most people have a vague sense that, you know, if you've been branded a felon, life is harder on the outside. But people don't realize that, you know, once you're released from prison, you're barred from public housing from a minimum of 5 years. Your family risks eviction if they allow you to come stay with them. People released from prison have difficulty finding somewhere just to sleep. Employment discrimination is legal against you for the rest of your life. Even food stamps may be off limits to you. And then you're saddled with, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars in debt, fees, fines, court costs, accumulated back child support. It's difficult for people just to survive when they're released from prison, and many wind up cycling in and out of prison for the rest of their lives.
You say that because of this, the justice system is functioning as a system of racial control, and I'd like to break that down. What do you mean by racial control?
Well, what I mean is that we have a system that functions through our criminal justice system that locks people into a permanent second-class status nearly as effectively as Jim Crow laws once did. People are targeted. Young people are targeted, often at very young ages, you know, transferred from their often decrepit, underfunded public schools to high-tech new prisons. And once they're released, they're ushered into this parallel social universe in which they're stripped of all the basic civil and human rights that the rest of us take for granted. And those who have been swept into the system through the war on drugs can frequently be defined by the color of their skin. And so in this way, we've managed to recreate, you know, an enormous penal system, unprecedented in world history, that locks a group of people defined largely by race into a permanent second-class status by law.
That's Ohio State Law Professor Michelle Alexander. Her book is called The New Jim Crow. She spoke with Ross Reynolds. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Marcy Silman.